formativity a very fascinating concept for a long time because I simply can't understand what it's about. I understand the basic idea because long ago I read Austin and How to Do Things with Words. He's the guy who came up with the idea. Performative means that you say something and by saying it you do it. For example, you say, I promise I will be here. And by saying that, you make the promise. Another one is what happens during marriages. I pronounce you man and wife. And by pronouncing you man and wife, you become man and wife. It's about saying things and by saying it, doing it. I can understand why this concept is very important in the digital age, because computer is basically a number consisting of large numbers. A computer program is one big number that does things. It's about saying things and by saying it, doing it. Now, numbers used to be about amounts and about quantities, and sort of they were sort of representative, and now in the computer they become performative. They do things. That's why I understand it's an important concept nowadays. It's about saying things and by saying it, doing it. You have performatives and you have constatives. I'm working on this book called Understanding Media Theory. And I've been trying to understand media theory for the last 15 years or something. And in this book I try to bring the best of media theory, so to speak, together into one. And it describes the history of mankind from the point of view of the media that were used in connection with language. Just describing what happened to language when it went through all these different medias. From this historical media theory point of view, I will describe my problems with performativity as a concept. The first medium for language was speaking. In oral cultures, there are no other means of storage for information than the stories you tell. What people in an oral culture do is they try to taste the meaning of what you say. Not by doing it in a logical way, but you know, when you speak to another person, you don't need logic basically to get the meaning over. You do it partly through language, but mostly through all the other means you have, like the tone of your voice, like the cadence of what you're saying, like the movements you make, the funny looks you give, etc., etc. When it comes across, you simply stop the argument because, you know, it's understood what I try to say. What I'm trying to say is, in oral cultures, you can make what is called a metalinguistic operation or a metalinguistic act of the first order. You can understand that there's a difference between what you say and what you mean. And you simply have to figure out, what does he mean? You know, the words are not that important, it's just, what does he mean? When it comes to literate cultures, where they have writing, you know, something very funny happens because writing creates a very strange distance between the meaning and because words. When you write, you lose all the sort of means that we use to get the meaning across while speaking. There is no intonation, there is no cadence, there are no gestures, there is not that funny sort of feeling between the writer and the reader. You have to put all the meaning in the language. What happens when literate cultures come into existence, like in Greece, you get a new concept. You understand that you're not just reading a text and identifying with what you read, but you have to make an interpretation of it. And the interpretation is something that is different than the read, because the meaning isn't clear, because you lack all the signs that are used in oral cultures to get the meaning across. And this leads to a sort of doubling up of the person who is reading. There's somebody who reads the text.
And there's another one inside the person who's looking at the person reading,
notifying how he's interpreting.
Yeah, this is a sort of doubling of the person, which is described as the beginning of subjectivity in Western civilization.
Interpretation is basically a metalinguistic operation of the second order.
you read a sentence and you know you have to interpret it. Then you notice that other people interpret it in different ways. How is that possible? Why isn't everybody reading the same thing? And then another step is made in which you start to interpret your way of interpretation.
You make an extra step out of the person who is interpreting what the reader is doing and who is starting to interpret the interpretation.
And then the step that's part of this process is that you understand that in the sentence, every sentence that is in a book is in a way, ambiguous, to say the least.
A written language still has this connection to the body of the writer because it's handwritten, but print has this extra distance between the author and the reader.
You start to notice that every sentence has no fixed meaning.
You can interpret it in all sorts of ways, and even very simple things are a bit ambiguous. And in a way doesn't have a meaning at all, because if it doesn't have a fixed meaning and everybody can put in it what they like, it doesn't really mean anything at all.
This is the metalinguistic act of the third order.
It's basically that you say, you not taste the meaning of the sentence, you not try to interpret it, but you understand that a text as such is in a way understandable. It's a closed world.
And the funny thing about digital culture is that we came up with a new metalinguistic act of the fourth order.
When you used to write with hand or on a typewriter and then you start to write on a computer, you notice something very weird.
The funny thing about a handwritten or a typed text is that the text immediately is fixed.
But in a computer it's not fixed. You move around with text. You can change the structure of your text without any problem. You can delete entire parts without any trace of it left in your computer.
You start to realize that a text is not just about sentences, about structure, it's
outline, as it's called in hypertext theory.
And this outline has its own meaning that you should interpret.
Or that you should change, as in hypertext, where you can click a word and move to another text without the linearity of text.
And the idea that if there is any meaning in a text, it's not just in words, sentences, interpretations, or meta-interpretations, but also in the outline of the text is a metalinguistic act of the fourth order that we have learned to do in the last...
Now, this is my problem with performativity, that's what it's all about.
Are there any sentences
outline of the text that really do it what they say?
Now, this is my problem with performativity, that's what it's all about in the last... Are there any sentences that really do what they say? It's about saying things and by saying it, doing it. Are there any sentences that really do what they say? Now, this is my problem with performativity. That's what it's all about. So I think that even though it's clear that somehow numbers get performative in computers and language gets performative, we always have to ask, what is the medium in which this linguistic statement appears? What does that really mean for the statement?
I still feel that somehow the concept is not right.